faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's... Oh, come on, you know who that is. Superman. Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel with his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter from a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. I used to collect comic books. Can you tell from my little intro which one was my favorite? I've been a Superman fan since I was about 3 years old, and scary enough, that's about 55 years now. Superman is celebrating his 75th anniversary this year. I started out watching George Reeves on TV when I was a kid, still my favorite Superman, by the way, flying, crashing through walls, and fighting bad guys. But you know, there are tons of other comic book superheroes out there besides Big Blue. There's Batman, Flash, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, the Submariner, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Thor, Green Lantern, Nightwing, Captain America, the Hulk. The list just keeps going. I could probably stand here for 5 minutes just listing names. There are dozens of them, probably scores. But Superman always stood out. He's always been my favorite. He was always above the rest, and not just because he could fly. One of the things that I think always attracted me to Superman was his character. He was clearly raised right by Jonathan and Martha Kent. Consider, here's the most powerful man on Earth, by far. He can move mountains, literally. He can see through walls, bend steel with his bare hands. He's faster than a speeding bullet, and nothing short of an H-bomb can hurt him. And what does he do with all that power? Does he make himself rich? No. Does he try and take over the world? No. He uses his powers to help people. He goes about doing good. The phrase sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? No, he uses power to help people. He fights crime. He helps the police. He stops superpowered bad guys, rescues people from burning buildings and falling planes, occasionally stops an asteroid from crashing into the Earth, and he does it while holding down a full-time job. And he never charges for his services. Maybe he was a pathfinder when he was growing up. I don't know. I always thought Superman was cool. You know, if you were on a plane and the engines flamed out, you'd be very happy to see Superman flying to the rescue. If some armed crooks stormed into the bank while you were there doing your business, you'd be very grateful if the Man of Steel flew in at the last second and rescued you. Yes, Superman could, if he were real, rescue you. He could save you from a burning building or a falling plane, bank robbers or terrorists. He can fly tons of food around the world to feed starving people. He can do all kinds of things. He can rescue you. But he can't redeem you. Only Jesus can do that. Let's pray for a moment. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you know you've put this message on my heart this morning. Please fill this place with your Holy Spirit today. Touch the hearts of everyone here. Give me a clear mind and a clear voice as I speak this morning, please. And let your words be the ones that everyone hears and not mine. Let me thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, did you bring your swords with you this morning? Amen. Okay. Well, if you did forget or you don't have one, there should be one in the pew in front of you. So if not, I'm sure your neighbor won't mind if you look over their shoulder a little bit too. But no hiding your comic books behind your Bibles. Okay, so what's all this stuff about Superman this morning? It's not my typical sermon by any means. Well, a few years ago, I did a short talk during Sabbath school called Rescued or Redeemed, which touched on this a little bit, which is why some of this may sound a little familiar to at least a few of you. But I want to expand on it this morning and look a little bit deeper than I had to during that Sabbath school that morning. But why now, you may ask? Well, it's rather timely just now. I was on the computer recently and ran across a little article by a fellow named Jason Moorhead. It said, Are you a pastor who is stuck for material for an upcoming sermon? Well, you might have heard that there's a new Superman movie out. Warner Brothers has kindly gone through the trouble of preparing a handy-dandy sermon guide based on it. Now you can take the rest of the week off. Obviously, this is no way a crude marketing ploy just to get churchgoers to see the Man of Steel trailer. I agree, it's not a slick marketing, a crude marketing ploy. It's a slick marketing ploy. But no, Mr. Moorhead was not kidding. So I looked around a little bit on the internet and I found it. The Man of Steel Ministry Resource Site. I'm not kidding. There was a picture of Henry Cavill, who's the movie's new Superman, flying through the sky, and the text under it read, "Welcome to the resource site for the upcoming Man of Steel. There you will find everything you need to educate and uplift your congregation, including free videos, sermon outlines, and images." Seriously? Warner Brothers is targeting evangelical Christians and trying to get them to go see Man of Steel, which is understandable. They want your money. Now, I had the idea for the sermon before I stumbled across this. Like I said, it was based on my Sabbath school talk from a couple of years ago. But Warner Brothers is encouraging pastors, and like I said, they sent out, you know, this information to pastors all over the country. They want them to do sermons based on the similarities between Superman and Jesus. The gospel according to Superman, you might say. I had more in mind a contrast, Superman according to the gospel, so to speak. So while there are some obvious surface similarities, that's just it. They're just surface similarities. But a lot of people like to deal with just the surface. Stephen Skelton, author of the Superman Bible Study, and no, I'm not kidding, he wrote a book a few years ago, back in 2006, about the time Superman Returns hit the theaters. His book was called The Gospel According to the World's Greatest Superhero. He points out that many writers of Superman intentionally model him as a messianic figure, pointing out that Superman's creators, who were two Jewish teenagers, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, borrowed from their religious heritage to come up with sort of a secular American messiah. He also points out that the people who made the first Christopher Reeve Superman movie and the TV series Smallville, which ran for about 10 years, also tapped into religious typology. As a matter of fact, Bryan Singer, who directed Superman Returns, when asked what his movie was about, said, "It's about what happens when the Messiah comes back." I beg to disagree. Not unless you want a seriously flawed Messiah. One online article points out, the entertainment industry has business savvy. Deliberately weaving in Christian subtext ensures the inflow of Christian dollars. How ironic that religious education classes use the Superman story to introduce Jesus when the entertainment industry is using Jesus to bolster Superman profits. But what are some of those similarities that Warner Brothers is so anxious that we see? Well, he is sent to Earth by his father from above, and he is Jor-El's only son. He has powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men, and as I pointed out, he uses his great power to help people. He goes about doing good. So yes, there are some obvious similarities, but what about the differences? Well, for one thing, God does not change. His character does not change. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." And Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Hebrews 7:24 reminds us that he, Christ, continues forever and therefore has an unchangeable priesthood. And lastly, Psalm 102 says, starting in verse 25, "Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." I don't know about you, but I think it's very reassuring to know that God's promises are sure and certain because God does not change. Amen? Amen. In 2009, however, Lauren Karp, in a Master's of Arts thesis entitled Truth, Justice, and the American Way, what Superman teaches us about the American dream and changing values within the United States, points out that whenever Superman's popularity starts to slump, he is given a character makeover to boost sales. They revamped him back in the mid-1950s, then again in 1986, and most recently in 2011, just a couple of years ago. To give you an example, a couple of years back, DC Comics did an animated film loosely based on a comic book story that they did back in the early 1990s. In the film, Superman is involved in a romantic relationship with Lois Lane, and they have been, well, sleeping together for about 6 months. Now, as if that weren't bad enough, Superman still hasn't told her his real identity as Clark Kent. So you have them in an illicit relationship, and she doesn't even know his real name. Not the Superman I grew up with. Contrast this with the 90s series Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, where Clark Kent is still a virgin when he marries Lois. Big difference. What are some other contrasts? In the comics, superheroes tend to whomp the bad guys. Almost every issue has some sort of slugfest going on. And if you pick up your Bibles now and turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 38. And we'll see a little contrast. Say amen when you got it. Okay. All right, Matthew 5, starting at verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, an online comment perfectly fits right here, where it says, he commented, it is preposterous to imagine Jesus taking the cross and giving his tormentors a hiding with it. I thought that was very neatly phrased. He prays in keeping with his ministry of reconciliation, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, there is a strong man in the Bible, a fellow named Samson. As a matter of fact, Jerry Siegel got the idea for Superman at least partly from Samson. But Samson's great strength did not come because he was a mutant or from another planet or because he was bitten by a radioactive spider or anything like that. Samson's strength came from the Holy Spirit. Have you ever wondered what Samson looked like? You know, because of his great strength, most people have a tendency to think of him as a big, muscular guy, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger or Hulk Hogan or somebody. But I don't think so. If he was built like Arnold, you know, and he killed a lion with his bare hands, you know, we'd be thinking like, wow, that guy is amazingly strong. That's incredible. You know, look how strong this guy is. He'd be getting the glory instead of God. But you know, I think Samson was probably an average-sized guy. Or maybe even a little scrawny. You know, because if you saw a little guy kill a lion with his bare hands, you wouldn't be going like, wow, that guy's really strong. You'd be, well, your mouth hanging open, you know. And you'd be going like, wow, only God could have that, could make this happen. You know, so God would get the glory, not Samson. And there's the way they dress Jesus and Superman. As an online writer pointed out, the entertainment industry makes superheroes wear dazzling costumes to accentuate their distance from humanity. Excuse me. It is preoccupied with spectacular achievement, however much it alienates superheroes from people. On the other hand, the plain-clothed Son of Man was preoccupied with relationships. For Superman, the really important stuff happens when he is wearing his cape. For Jesus, the really important stuff happened when he was naked on a cross. Matter of fact, let me read that last part again, because I think that's very powerful. For Superman, the really important stuff happens when he is wearing his cape. For Jesus, the really important stuff happened when he was naked on a cross. Amen. To wrap up, let's look at our scripture for this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But let's start at verse 7. I'll give you a second to find it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 7. And this is Paul speaking, writing. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When Superman is weak, when he's exposed to kryptonite, he's helpless, lying on the floor, unable to help even himself, let alone anyone else. When we are weak, that's when God can use us. Would you like to have powers like Superman? Lots of people would immediately say yes. But Paul says in Philippians 3:8, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. We don't have to be super to play a part in Christ's kingdom. We can stutter, be a quadriplegic like Johnny Erickson Tata, or have cerebral palsy like my lovely wife, Kathy. We can say, like Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. Someday soon, very soon, we'll be looking up in the eastern sky and we will say, look, up in the sky. But it won't be Superman that we'll be pointing at. It will be Jesus coming in the clouds as he promised to take us home. And we will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. Up, up, and away. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, I used to collect comic books, and Superman was my main thing. At one point, I think I had almost every Superman comic published from the Man of Steel miniseries in 1986, when they revamped him, up through early 2001. And there was like four titles a month coming out, so you know I had a lot of Superman comic books at that point. I used to live over on Lake Avenue, which is just a few blocks from here, and a little comic book specialty shop had opened up just a couple of blocks away. And this was like in the early 90s, about 91 or so, 91, 92. And I stopped in out of curiosity one day and just was browsing around because I hadn't really looked at comic books in a long time. And I started browsing through the back issue bins, and they had quite a few of them. And I stumbled across this little 12-part miniseries that DC Comics had done in 1985 called Crisis on Infinite Earths. And that was the one where they revamped their entire superhero line. And I'd heard of it before. I'd heard it, seen it mentioned in the paper or somewhere, but I'd never seen it. So I just out of curiosity, I bought the first issue. And I read it, and I'm like, this is pretty cool. So I wound up reading the entire series, and by the end of it, they had just about turned their whole superhero universe upside down and inside out. So I figured, all right, now what did they do with Superman? And they also, happened to have the Man of Steel miniseries, which was like also a six-part series where they reintroduced Superman. And so I bought that and really liked it, thought they'd done a really cool job with it. And so I started, you know, looking for back issues to kind of catch up with where he'd been since from 86 on up to where I was in early 92. And it was very well done, well written and everything. It was, and like I said, these days comics aren't written for 10-year-olds like they were when I was a kid. The average age of the comic book reader these days is like in their mid-20s. And you have people, you know, you still have kids reading them, but you also have people my age and older reading them too. And anyway, I started collecting Superman at that point and kind of went along for, you know, a few years. And like I said, through the 90s up to about 2001. But there, after a while, some things, and I would occasionally read other comics in addition to Superman. It wasn't just him, but he was just my main thing. But I'd occasionally read other stuff because there were crossovers and stuff going on. And the thing about it was, there were some storylines that would creep in occasionally that weren't real appropriate for a Christian to be reading. Now, admittedly, I wasn't a Christian when I first started doing it. I became a Christian in 98, and I started collecting by 92. And after becoming a Christian, I started noticing some of this stuff a little bit more. For example, even in the Superman titles, there was a recurring gay character. Now, you didn't get mentioned much about the fact that she was, except in the first issue or two when they first introduced her. She was Maggie Sawyer. She was the head of the Metropolis Special Crimes Unit that fought super-powered bad guys occasionally when Superman wasn't around, but naturally ran into her every now and then. But she was just kind of there in the background. And even though when you didn't get discussed, but you still knew. And they did a Supergirl title that came along that ran for maybe like 50 or 60 issues. And that one was a lot darker than you would expect from a Superman-related title. And in that one, that got explained, there was a lot of occult stuff going on in it, a lot of supernatural stuff. And it was mentioned in the story somewhere along the line that she was what they referred to as an earthborn angel, whatever exactly that was, some comic book theology that they came up with. And towards the end of it, the very last issue, she winds up killing the bad guy and hanging up the cape and stopped being Supergirl because she felt she'd gone over the line with it, does that. And after that, they stopped that title. And about 2 months later, another title called Dark Angel came out. And it was written by the same guy who had been writing Supergirl. So I was kind of curious just to see if that was kind of a continuation of the Supergirl title, just under a different name. And I only read like the first three or four issues because it was even a lot darker than the Supergirl title was. And I'm not even sure I should mention what I saw, but I opened one issue, I think it was like the fourth one, and just the image on the page, I just threw it on the floor. And I'm not even going to say what it was, but it wasn't something a Christian should be looking at for sure. And that's one thing I want to let you know about this morning, especially if you have kids, because obviously, you know, there's a lot of superhero movies out these days in addition to Superman. You know, there was the Avengers and Iron Man and all these others that are going on these days. And not all comic books are bad. I don't want to make it sound like they are, because they're not. I read plenty of them that were, you know, pretty harmless. But there's been this trend over the years for them to get darker and to tell more so-called adult storylines. And there are a lot of comics out there that are labeled mature audiences only, but if you go into a comic book shop, sometimes they're still sitting right there on the shelf where a kid can walk in and pick it up and look at it. Even back when I was collecting one time, I remember walking in and picking up one that was called, I'm sorry to say, Preacher, which is about a backslidden, you know, fundamentalist preacher, very backslidden, I will say. And I, just out of curiosity, I picked it up because I'd never looked at one before and opened it up. And I can't even quote the language that was on the first page or refer to what they were talking about. So I immediately walked over to, you know, the guy who was behind the counter and, you know, mentioned it to him and said, if you're going to have this stuff out, you really need to have it up on the top shelf where the kids can't get to it. And I don't recall seeing it on the there anymore, so fortunately they did listen to me about that. But there's this trend of getting darker and edgier, I guess you would say, in comics. So just want to warn you this morning, especially if you're a parent and you have kids that like to read comics, if you're going to let them do it, make sure you read it first, just to let you know what's going on, because there's some bad stuff in the comics these days, and you need to be aware of it. And shortly before I stopped collecting, I was home one day, one afternoon. I was going through the hymnal, and I was singing hymns. Excuse me. And I got to the hymn. I forget which one it was now, but anyway, I was singing, and it got to one line where it says, "And all on the altar we lay." And as soon as I got to sang that line, the word comic books just popped into my head, and I just knew it was the Lord when He just that didn't say anything else. It was just that, and there were no comic books out in sight. I wasn't looking at them. I wasn't thinking about them at all, but it was clear. I knew what He meant. It's like, okay, it's time to stop it. Time to get rid of them, and so I did, and I went to the comic book shop where I did business, and I told them I was canceling my titles. And they were a little surprised, but it gave me a chance to witness to the guy. And I explained why. It was because of the things that I was becoming a Christian, and there were just things in the comics that I shouldn't be looking at anymore. And one little thing, and I deliberately neglected to mention, the name of the comic book shop was called Dragon's Lair. And so that seemed a little interesting there, too. And interestingly enough, I was down to two issues at that point, two titles. And just because, you know, I was subscribed to them and they had to do it a couple of months ahead, I said, yeah, I'll go ahead and pick up the last two issues just so they wouldn't have to eat the price. And I went back the last week to pick up my last two copies, and the place was closed. It was like an out-of-business sign on the door, which was interesting considering I had started collecting them like about a month after they opened, and then they closed right after I canceled my subscription. I didn't collect that many of them, by the way. I don't think I put him out of business, but but it did give me a chance to witness to him, and praise God for that. Now, whether it sank in or not, I don't know. I haven't seen him since, but I pray that it did. And but anyway, that's basically the point that I have this morning is, you know, Superman, even if he was real, would not be the one we would look to. Jesus is always the one we look to. Superman can rescue you, but he can't redeem you. Only one that can do that is Jesus Christ. So I would like to ask this morning, if you've never given your heart to Christ and you feel the Holy Spirit talking to you this morning, please don't ignore it. Because the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. So if you feel that tug on your heart this morning, if you hear the Holy Spirit whispering to you, come to me. Don't ignore him, please. Thank you.